What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got another good one for you today. Of course, the injury updates are fast and furious, and we've got them for you. The two-way contract deadline is coming up. Not just Damian Lee and Kai Bowman, but the two-way contracts overall in the NBA is coming up January 15th. Real time crunch for the Warriors. We're going to talk about that as well. And Willie Cauley-Stein makes his Sacramento homecoming. And why it might not be a warm welcome for our guy WCS. All that and more coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got co-host Wes Goldberg joining me in just a minute. He is in Sacramento for tonight's game. We got injury updates, as always. Some guys are in, some guys are out, some guys coming back soon. We got it all for you. The two-way contract deadline is coming up. And I'm not just talking about Kai Bowman and Damian Lee coming up on their days. You can't sign any more two-way contracts after January 15th and why that might affect the Warriors, why they're in a little time crunch. And Willie Cauley-Stein going back to Sacramento tonight. His first game in Sac since he left for the Warriors. And he hasn't had a ton of great things to say about Sac. And that's probably why he's not going to get a warm welcome, but we'll have to wait and see. I thought he got a bad wrap up in Sac, but that's just one man's opinion. And we're going to get to all of that in just 1 minute. But first, this spring, follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather, landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. It's a one-of-a-kind spring training experience. You can follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League. 10 stadiums, 15 MLB teams, 75-degree temperatures. All 10 stadiums are in Greater Phoenix. Within 50 miles, you can hit up every single stadium. You get to meet the players, get their autographs before games. I mean, honestly, it's one of the best experiences you can have if you're a baseball fan. It's similar to Summer League for NBA. You're out there schmoozing with the baseball players. You're bumping into them at restaurants and bars. You're having casual conversations with these guys. It is awesome. I can't urge you enough, if you're a baseball fan, to go see. Check out my A's. Go bump into Matt Chapp and tell him I said what's up. There's tons to see and do outside of baseball. You can check out amazing restaurants and bars, tons of craft breweries like Four Peaks, Angels, Trumpet Ale House, and Goldwater Brewing Company. Tons of live music and national sports. You can explore museums featuring everything from native heritage to modern art, musical instruments from around the world. Arizona is also known for its incredible landscapes, thrilling outdoor adventures. Hit the road, explore Arizona's urban centers, ghost towns, artsy communities, and quirky outposts. Then get back for a baseball game. There's hiking, biking, jeep tours, hot air balloons, skydiving, jet skiing, or just taking in the sunset. No matter what you love to do, Arizona has you covered. You can check off must-see destinations from your bucket list, like the Grand Canyon, Monument Valley, Horseshoe Bend, and Tucson. Bring the kids along to spring training. Arizona is a fantastic destination for families. Family-friendly resorts and hotels offer plenty of fun for the kids of all ages. Water parks to horseback rides to games and activities. Arizona has tons of stuff for kids to do and see, like wildlife parks, science museums, aquariums, and dude ranches. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/spring training. That is visitarizona.com/spring training. Wes, what's up, man? You are in Sacramento for tonight's game, and it feels like a broken record, but I guess we should start with injury updates. Some of them, the updates are kind of just status quo, but there is some potentially good news regarding D'Angelo Russell. What have you heard so far?
Yeah, I mean, D'Angelo Russell's going to miss his fourth straight game tonight against the Kings, but could be back as soon as Wednesday's game against the Milwaukee Bucks. Of course, against the Bucks, the Warriors are going to need as much help as that they can get. As far as Draymond goes, no real news on him. The last we've heard was just an ankle tweak over the weekend. But we also understood that Steve Kerr was trying to get some time off for Draymond Green. I think maybe this was an excuse to do that, given that the team is on the road, but not really on the road. You know, they take a bus from San Francisco to Sacramento. So you just sort of leave Draymond Green at home, let him get a few days off between the last game and maybe Wednesday's game against Milwaukee. So you could see him possibly back if the Warriors want to get as many healthy buys as possible. But back, you know, in regards to D'Angelo Russell, Kai Bowman was supposed to be in the G League this week. He was supposed to be in Santa Cruz for the last four games, but he's had to play the last several games for the Warriors because not only have they been dealing with injuries with D'Angelo Russell, but before they were dealing with an injury to Aaron Paschal, Glenn Robinson missed a game. So Kai Bowman's been needed to kind of soak up some of those minutes, but Steve Kerr today said that as soon as D'Angelo Russell comes back, Kai Bowman's going to be sent back to Santa Cruz, which we both know means a lot when it comes down to the expiring days on his two-way contract.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up Kai Bowman because there's a lot to talk about with him right now. One thing we talked about last episode was as soon as a spot opens up on the regular roster that they could potentially fill the two-way spot. But something we forgot to mention is the fact that the deadline for two-way contracts is January 15th. So there's a real time crunch when it comes down to them doing so. So if they don't open up a spot until January 20th, the two-way contract is non-existent. They can't sign another two-way contract, which for my own opinion is a little weird that it doesn't match up with the trade deadline, but that's neither here nor there. It is what it is, one of my favorite cliches. But as far as that's concerned, he's only got a couple days left. And something that I've noticed recently with his play is ever since they sent him down and want him to work on facilitating and being more of a, you know, true classic point guard, so to speak, is his game's been minimized when he's been with the NBA team, when he's been with Golden State and getting minutes. And I don't love it. I mean, especially considering I'd rather him get shots than Jacob Evans or Draymond Green or whoever. Like, I'm all for him learning to play the point guard position to facilitate and help others. But I just feel like his ability to help, his scoring ability is already at an NBA level, and they're kind of minimizing it ever since he's returned. Maybe that's on him. Maybe it's on the coaches. But it's just something I've noticed. Have you seen that as well?
No, I have. I'm glad you brought that up. He does seem a little bit less aggressive, less assertive to look for his own shot. There have been times where I think his teammates are not used to him trying to facilitate. There have been moments, I remember even in the last game against Detroit, there was a specific moment, I think it was in the second half, where Kai brings the ball up, points down to the floor, which is like the universal sign for set a screen right here, and none of his teammates were really looking at him because I think they maybe all assumed that he was just going to dart to the basket, try to get his own shot, as he typically has done. But he was asking for teammates to set a screen. Nobody would set a screen, and he ended up having to pass off the ball and just sort of reset the offense that way. And so I think there's going to be an adjustment period, but I do think that, you know, if you're the Warriors, you're taking a long-term view, and you look at Kai Bowman as your backup point guard of the future, well, then maybe then that makes sense. But in the short term, yeah, I think you've taken a little bit – you've taken some of the teeth out of his game. But he's got six more days left, man. Like, that's coming up. And Damian Lee only has two more days left. I mean, this is after Monday night's game. Both of them are with the team right now against Sacramento, so those days will be used. And we know right now that the front office is looking at ways, like currently looking at ways to promote one of them. And if they do promote one of them, it's probably going to be Damian Lee first. Then you send Kai Bowman back to the G League for most of the season until you're able to sign him to a prorated minimum contract towards the end of the season.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I'm torn because I look at the center position and I look at guys that I like Willie Cauley-Stein, Marquise Chriss, etc. But I don't know because I'm so torn as to what moves they could make to promote Kai Bowman. And like you said, maybe they just wait until March. But the problem is also with moving one of the centers is this center free agent class is weak. I mean, I know there's, you know, the idea that the center, there's lots of them out there. And there might be one that they can get, but it's not something that I'd be very confident in them doing this offseason. But again, I'd be for any move that gets Kai Bowman on the roster. So I'm torn as far as the whole scene is concerned.
And you're assuming that to get Damian Lee on the roster, they move Alec Burks, right?
Like that's my initial assumption. That's I think he has the most interest and is the most likely to be moved.
And I don't know how much interest Glenn Robinson is going to have on the trade market. He's a little bit of a fit guy, as opposed to Alec Burks, who's more of a plug and play scorer.
Yes.
And I agree with you. I think you look at having Willie there. He's got a player option for next season, which I expect him to pick up, and he expects himself to pick up. Marquise Chriss is under contract potentially, or could be under contract for next year. You can retain his rights if they pick up this guaranteed. Because his contract becomes fully guaranteed on the 10th.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's coming up too, and that's important because, you mentioned, that January 15th deadline to sign two-way players. And then you look at the other guy on a minimum contract, which we already talked about him, Alec Burks. But I do think that you serve yourself to let Kai Bowman develop in the G League, take the long view, and then you just sign him. And that way you don't have to set at the end of the year to that prorated minimum. Now you're only going to have him for a couple of weeks, but that's okay because we're again taking a long-term view here, where you just say, you know what, let him develop in the G League, where he's got more, he's got the ball in his hands for more time. You don't have to worry about any of this like mixing and matching with D'Angelo or eventually Steph when he comes back or anything like that. You just let him develop in the G League as he's supposed to do, along with Jordan Poole and Alan Smiley each, because next year you're potentially looking at like a three-headed center rotation of Willie Cauley-Stein, Marquise Chriss, and possibly Alan Smiley-Geach if they think he's ready by then.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a lot of it has to do with development. A lot of things are in the air, and with the trades that they could potentially make in the offseason, the trade exception, maybe they can figure out the center position then, but it's just, I don't know, it's a risk. And it's a risk in the same way that, assuming, I like what you said about Glenn Robinson. He's more of a fit guy with the Warriors. He's more valuable to the Warriors than to other teams, most likely,
yeah,
where Alec Burks is plug and play. But you're still taking the risk with Glenn Robinson that, no one will throw somewhat substantial money at him this offseason. And so if you do end up trading a center, you're taking the risk that you can figure out how to fill that spot in the offseason as well. So a lot of things up in the air. It's all interesting. I'm pretty excited for it to get worked out, just to kind of have some answers. But who knows when that will be. Hopefully by, what is it, February 7th is the trade deadline. We'll have some answers then. Did you say the 6th?
Yeah, February
6th. Okay, February 6th. There we go.
Yeah.
You talked about Willie Cauley-Stein, and he's making his return to Sacramento tonight. And I don't know if it's going to be quite a warm welcome. I want to talk about that in just a minute. Wes, the Dubs are taking on the Kings tonight in Sacramento at the Golden 1 Center, which is now, I think, second place for best arena now that Chase has opened.
Sorry, Sacramento. I don't know. I don't know about that.
Okay.
So I've covered quite a few of the games at Golden 1 last year, mm-hmm, before getting this job with the Warriors beat. But I walked into Golden 1 this morning for shoot around, and I really, really like that arena. I know everybody loves Chase, and I understand everything. I get it. Chase is really, really big. Golden 1 is really, really big. But Golden 1 has a way of still feeling kind of small. Smaller than Chase Center, not so kind of vast and fewer empty corners, it feels like. I think Golden 1 gives Chase a run for its money. I'm not ready to name a winner, but Golden 1's a damn good arena.
He is at WC Goldberg on Twitter. Go ahead and let him know how you feel. No, I mean, they're both incredible. They're both amazing, and they're both pretty brand new. So I'm just messing with you. Like to
inside baseball. Golden One has way better media dining than Chase Center. So if anybody at the Warriors organization is listening right now, step up your game.
Also,
the best oatmeal raisin cookie I've ever had in my life was at Golden One Arena.
There you go.
Golden One Center.
I don't know if Ray Ritter handles all that, but Ray, get on it, man.
Get it on it.
And that's the other thing, you guys. You have to understand, when it comes to media, we're all very selfish. It's not about, how the team plays, or it's what amenities do they have for us.
That's right. 100%.
Yep. Just a heads up. Willie Cauley-Stein is making his return to Golden 1 tonight, and you and I have talked about it, and I've got people up in Sacramento that I talk to that I don't know if he got a bad rap up here. I don't know if it's the fact that he was, the number 6 overall pick and was never a superstar, but I think he's a good player. I think he's a good player. I think in today's NBA, he does exactly what you want a center to do. He put up good numbers here in SAC, and I think he might get booed out of the building tonight. Part of it is because of he's taken jabs at the Kings since he left for the Warriors, but also they just there's a large contingent of Kings fans that I don't know blame him for a lot of their failings.
Yeah,
and I don't get it personally. Have you noticed that too?
He was always scapegoated, and I'm like, I never really understood why. I mean, you look at so many – the Kings have so many problems. It's like, you think the center is the issue? You think the center is the reason why this team hasn't made the playoffs in 15 years or whatever it was? Like, no, are you kidding me? Like, of all the lottery picks you had that flamed out the Ben McLemores of the world, like, you're blaming it on Willie Cauley-Stein because he saw out he's one of the few lottery picks you had that saw out his rookie contract? Like, this is – it always – struck me as insane. I mean, they drafted him when they had DeMarcus Cousins. Mm-hmm. Like, this was it's classic Sacramento Kings where, oh, we have a player at center, let's draft another center. It's just always what the Kings do. They're doing it now with Marvin Bagley and all these other, Harry Giles and all these other guys, like Harrison Barnes. Like, I just don't understand what their infatuation is with tall players, but it always was weird to me when he was scapegoated. I saw it last year up close and in person. It always seemed weird. And look, the Warriors, for their part, always thought he played well against them, and he did. The numbers bear that out, and that's one of the reasons that they were intrigued in signing him this year. That and because by the time Willie got out of his contract with Sacramento, there wasn't a whole lot of free agent money left, so the Warriors were able to kind of scoop him up for something close to the minimum there, even though it's not quite the minimum. But I've spent the last few days talking to people in Sacramento and Golden State and what kind of is the difference right now, because he is playing better than he ever has right now this season. And you could just chalk some of that up to the fact that he's 26, he's in the middle of his prime, and you know he's in his fifth year as opposed to his fourth year, and there should come just incremental improvement with that. But you could also – the sense that I'm getting is that, you know, he just didn't get the requisite coaching he needed when he got to Sacramento, which shouldn't shock anybody because he had three different coaches in 4 years. And none of those coaches are there now. And so he just wasn't coached the right way. And I talked to Willie about this several times, and he didn't feel like he got the guidance he needed when he got into the NBA. And now he is. He's in an organization that routinely gets the most out of its players, especially out of their centers, moreover. And he's being allowed to – and he's been nudged in the right direction. He fashions himself a positionless basketball player, which almost every basketball player now does. You ask a basketball player – these days, what position they play, and they always will come back inevitably with, oh, I'm just a basketball player. Well, there's five positions on the floor. You got to pick one. So you can't just have five basketball players out there. But the Warriors have done a good job of nudging him towards, no, you're a center, and you're going to rim roll, and you're going to protect the rim. Those are your two, that's your job description. Do that first, and then anything additionally after that is just icing on the cake. But you got to kind of do what's in the job description first and foremost, and they've gotten that out of Willie. And frankly, he didn't do that in Sacramento because he didn't have that sort of guidance. So, and that's what they were frustrated with, that he would kind of go out of his lane. He would just kind of go off script so too often, and that's what frustrated them. And he's not doing that as much right now with the Warriors.
One thing, and we talked about potential trades and all that and the roster movement, I almost do hope that he's with the Warriors next year, because I do think that he is a great fit with a healthy Warriors team with Steph and Clay and the vertical spacing that Willie Cauley-Stein provide, the gravity that Steph and Clay have. I think he would find a new level of production, but you know, we'll see what happens. But I that's why I was excited when they signed him, because I thought he would be such a good fit with Steph, and we all know what happened with the injuries and whatnot. Another thing that you talked about the Kings and all the centers that they've signed and drafted, et cetera. And again, we've talked about the uncertain future of pretty much the entire roster with the Warriors besides four players. The Kings did not pick up Harry Giles, what is it, fourth year option? So he's going to be a unrestricted free agent this offseason. And again, depending on what happens, I mean, that could be a guy that the Warriors look at. He's got some game. I don't know why he's fallen out of favor with the Kings, but, you know, that's just another interesting one. I don't know. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, who knows why people – the thing about Sacramento is, if I'm another team in the NBA other than basically the Orlando Magic, I probably feel like I could sign any Sacramento Kings player and just expect a bump in production just based on the fact that they don't play for the Kings anymore. And I think Harry Giles is a nice player. I wrote a long feature about him last season. I think he's got a lot of interesting qualities. He's probably not a starter, but he's a decent rim protector for you. He could do some interesting things passing the ball.
Yeah, definitely.
But he's, again, he's kind of dealing with the same thing that Willie Cauley-Stein dealt with, where he's like, oh, I'm a basketball player. I want to stretch the floor. This is what Marquise Chriss dealt with in his first two stops, too. I'm a basketball player. I'm going to stretch the floor. And it's like, no, you're an athlete. Go to the rim. Dunk a whole bunch of times. Just do that instead. And I think Harry Giles projects similar to a guy like Marquise Chriss, where he's going to have to find an opportunity where somebody reins him in a little bit and says, no, do these things on your job description first, check these boxes, and then we'll add more boxes for you to check afterwards. But to go really briefly back to Willie Cauley-Stein, I wrote about this for the San Jose Mercury News on Monday morning, that he does project as a long-term fit for the Warriors, and he could project next year as a starter. I know a lot of people are penciling in Kevon Looney as a starter next season if he's healthy, but you look at what this team's projected starting lineup next season is missing, okay? We're looking at Steph Curry, D'Angelo Russell, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. What are they missing out of that four, from that core four? They're missing not shooting. They're not missing defense. They're not missing ball handling. What they're missing is somebody to put pressure on the rim. Steph Curry is best beyond the arc. Klay Thompson, likewise. Draymond Green can get to the rim, but he can't do anything with the ball after that. And then you look at a guy like D'Angelo Russell, who almost never gets to the rim. He's almost always, you know, settling somewhere in the mid-range area. So maybe they can kind of curb that a little bit next season. But Willie Cauley-Stein provides that vertical spacing that you just talked about. He provides pressure on the rim. And in his last 2 years in Sacramento, he averaged more than two assists per game in a high-paced offense.
Yeah.
And he's averaging fewer assists right now. But I was talking with a few coaches, what they think about his long-term projection for that lineup, and they think he's a really good fit. This is not somebody who could just be making the most out of a down year in Golden State. He could be playing his way into a starting spot next season on a very valuable contract.
No doubt, no doubt. And you mentioned him willing to play his role with the Warriors. He's averaging 1.4 blocks a game right now. Yeah. And the only time he averaged just one his rookie year and hasn't reached the one block per game mark since.
Yeah, he was all team defensive SEC or whatever the
whatever.
Like, he was first team all defense, whatever. And he was selected as a defensive first type of player. And then he was lousy defensively for 4 years in Sacramento, and all of a sudden he's good defensively again. Like, that's not a coincidence. He didn't just get that much better defensively. It just, he got in a way better position. He's able to switch on the perimeter in a way that he never was able to in Sacramento. He was constantly abused when he got out and switched, and they've talked to him about lowering his stance. He's not so upright and rigid anymore.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he's a good one-on-one defender. Opponents are shooting now 10% less than their average when they're guarded by, when Willie Cauley-Stein is guarding the rim. I mean, he's just sort of refound this natural ability to be a good defender. And the coaches I talked to said he's got a natural instinct to play defense. He's a naturally good defender, which just tells me how bad the Kings are at getting anything out of their good players.
And his athletic ability is up there with the top athletes at his position in the NBA. So, I mean, there's no reason why,
right,
especially considering that he has the IQ to do it, he's got the athletic and natural ability to do it as well. And we're starting to see that.
Yeah, and look, that athleticism is also that athleticism combined with the height is very rare.
I mean, he's probably the fastest center in the league. I know he came out. He broke some sort of records with his testing at the combine. I know that. And you know, we've seen glimpses of it. And I like what you said about the accepting your role, because, you know, JaVale McGee had his problems, but he did do some things well. He rolled to the rim. He dunked. Potential rim protection, stuff like that. And they haven't been able to replace that, which is, I mean, Damian Jones. You know, who else? Willie Cauley-Stein's getting there. Jordan Bell couldn't do it. And I guess part of it is just accepting your role, knowing your role, and doing that. And we're starting to see that with Willie, because it seems so simple. You know, if it's simple enough for JaVale McGee to do it, why can't someone else do it? So to start to see Willie Cauley-Stein doing it is great, because that's exactly what they need.
And he's got extra layers to his game that JaVale didn't have. I mean, the passing, moreover, but they like his shooting touch a lot, and he's only shooting less than, he's like 28-29% from mid-range right now. He's not taking threes, which is good. But Willie Cauley-Stein thinks he can shoot from the corner. He thinks he's a good mid-range shooter. And he did that a lot to a frustrating degree in Sacramento. They're telling him, they've convinced him to pick and choose their spots. They're encouraging him to take the mid-range, but they're also encouraging him to pick and choose the spots where he does it. And there have been moments where that mid-range shot has been a real asset to them. They're working on his balance. They're, again, encouraging him to shoot off of 2 feet. He had this weird propensity to shoot off of like a 1 foot fading away. Yeah. It's like, dude, you're 7 feet tall. Why are you doing that? Like, you could just shoot over anybody. It's like Kevin Durant can just go down and shoot off of 2 feet anytime he wants and not get a shot blocked. You can do that. You're not Kevin Durant, but you basically are the same size as Kevin Durant. So just do that. So they're tweaking things. And just, again, man, like Sacramento couldn't have figured this out. It boggles my mind. But that's, again, you know, you go to a championship style coaching staff, with a good track record versus, you know, three coaches in 4 years, and all of a sudden all these things start sort of click into place. He's less of this sort of, you know, theory of a basketball player, and now he's kind of putting all this stuff together.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens tonight with him in Sacramento. I mean, I know he wants to have a big game there. We'll see if it actually happens. Glenn Robinson laid an egg against Detroit when, you know, you expected him to go off. So it could go either way. We will see. I do expect him to get booed, which is too bad, but I'm sure he'll handle it hilariously, and I'm all for it. Wes, I will talk to you after the game, get a little breakdown, and after we just spent, you know, 20 minutes on Willie Cauley. Now I flipped completely. You can't trade him. I mean, this is what I go through daily now is, well, you know, you can do it, but then next thing is, no, you can't. So whatever. I just can't wait till they do something so I can stop thinking about it. But, you know, that's my own problem. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.